Happy to think about it.
I'll call a meeting to order.
I'm going to ask Dr. Fritz to lead us in the invocation and pledge.
Heavenly Father, we come to you today asking for your guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. Help us to engage in meaningful discussion, allow us to grow closer as a group, and nurture the bonds of community. Fill us with your grace, Lord God, as we make decisions that might affect the students, faculty, staff, alumni, and friends of the State College of Florida. And continue to remind us that all we do here today, all that we accomplish, is for the pursuit of truth, for the greater glory of you, and for the service of humanity. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Prouty, do we have any public comment? We have no speakers intending to make public comment to the board, so we can move to the next agenda item. Next agenda item is Dr. P's President's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You have my written report in front of you. It just highlights some of the numbers as it related to our recent commencement. Very happy to have awarded more than 100 degrees or 1,000 degrees and certificates for the summer and fall graduates. Thank you all for those of you who could attend commencement. It was a fantastic way to come back on campus. So I'm going to turn the rest of my time over to Cassandra with the mission moment because we have a very special guest with us tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Kleinfeld. And happy holidays to everyone. Obviously, we were very excited to get to meet and get to know some of you during our December 1st event that we had for the trustees and directors, and we thank all of you for those that were able to attend. Here, I have the pleasure to introduce Fred Stewart. Fred is something unusual, which is a native Floridian. He is actually from Manatee in Sarasota counties, and he has lived in our counties his entire life. And so not many of us can attest to that, being a true Floridian. Oh, Gladys over there is holding her hand up. Thank you very much. We have a few of natives out there. So now I'd like to welcome Fred Stewart to the podium to discuss a little bit about some of his student story that he would like to share with us.
Good evening, everyone. How are we doing tonight? Doing
all right? Good, and you?
Good. A lot of smiling faces in here. You know, I just want to share a little bit about my story. As you can see, these things speak for themselves on what I plan to do. But I first want to talk about the impact that SCF has had on my life, you know, by starting with saying, why did I choose SCF? Well, in my mind, SCF chose me because not only has my father gone here, my mother has gone here, my auntie has gone here. It's a fun fact. If you go into our financial aid building, there's a picture of a lady on the wall. That's my auntie. She's there. And so I feel that SCF has not only been something that's been present in my life, but it's almost destiny-like that has found me. So the reason I chose it was not only because of the lovely staff that we have here and the beautiful legacy of my family, but just I knew it fit me as a person. Moving on, you know, how has the foundation helped me? Well, I feel that the foundation has not only helped me, but it's given me a new life in a sense. In the sense of when you're a person like me from inner city communities, urban communities, there aren't many options. Most people either play sports or they do other things. I played sports and then I got a hip replacement at the very young age of 16. And so that was taken away from me. So I had to find something else to do. And through that, I found my ability for announcing games and things of that nature and team management, which I do now at the college, not only for gentlemen like Coach Hill and for our basketball program, but for many of the programs here at the school. So the foundation has allowed me to get a new life in a sense. It's opened so many doors that I couldn't even imagine would be open until now. And now we ask, you know, with all this promise and with all these gifts, what do I plan on doing in the future? Well, the prayer inspired me because it reminded me of what I plan on doing. I plan on seeking wisdom and understanding on my next steps. As you can see, it says, I want to go, well, it did say, as you see, it said, I want to go to UCF. Those steps are very true in my heart because not only do I want to become a great man, but I want to leave a legacy that my family can follow. And I think with those words, I feel that not only can I give back to the community that's poured into me, but I can give back to my family and show them that there's a way other than just sports and other things. Thank you.
You know, Fred was sharing a little bit about himself. You can see what an AA degree-seeking student looks like. Mm-hmm. And so we thank you, Fred, for sharing. This is the Board of Directors of the Foundation. As you can see, we have some new leadership. Chris Romine is a former student, and he was very excited, and he really wanted to be here this evening, but he started his holidays early, and so he is not in state right now. And so, but he did want to let you know that he does appreciate you allowing the foundation this opportunity to present to you. Last year, we just concluded our audit, so I'm going to give you a little prelude before we go into our 990 tax preparations for that particular document. You will be seeing that in your January board meeting along with our audit report, but these are some of the highlights. You can see that on September 30th of 2022, our investments under management were $68 million. Our total asset base was, at that particular time, was $71 million. As you know, most of our assets are restricted based upon the donor's wishes and their passions for different programs and opportunities we have for those that want to give meaningful giving at State College of Florida Foundation. And, of course, some of our bragging points that we did last year, $1.9 million in scholarships to over 1,500 deserving State College of Florida students, with $2.2 million in enhancements to the college, which include capital projects, instructional support, different types of equipment, and launch of different degrees at State College of Florida to ensure that we had and support a robust Manatee and Sarasota County economy. Also, some of the highlights that I would like to point out, we were back to in-person events. Hallelujah, right? Because in the previous year, we didn't have any. And so that helped us increase and welcome back people to our events. We were coming back in smaller sizes to our in-person events, but they were very meaningful and profitable as our gross earned revenue topped over $300,000. And that's unrestricted dollars where we can really pivot and align with the president's priorities. Another thing to note is very quickly, the community reacted to our call for help. We had students and employees that were suffering tremendous losses before federal government subsidies could kick in due to the impacts of Hurricane Ian. The notes of appreciation and the gratitude from our employees and our students is really overwhelming with the thank you notes that we will be able to share with some of our benefactors as they are getting the checks before the holidays conclude. And those funds are soon to be depleted. How did we end the year? Total overall gross new dollars coming into the foundation. You can see we've set a target of around $2 million. We break that up into individual givings, businesses, and then, of course, foundations. Foundations include both private, family, trust, and also our community foundation partners. You can see that we came in at $3.4 million, We did have a stellar year in our grant making. Many people were wanting to support the initiatives, whether it was launching the new ESC and elementary education baccalaureate degrees, helping us with our AS degree in music technology. So there was a lot to really be positive and really for donors to sink their teeth in to have meaningful and impactful giving. People no longer want to be check writers, remember. They want a charitable return on their investment. And State College of Florida is a great charity to partner with for them to make those achievements. Being a doer, donor, and door opener is something that you can help us with. You truly are at a giving table, as we have 100% participation from our President's Advisory Council, 100% participation in giving from our Board of Directors, and significant giving from our trustees. So this speaks volumes to those in which we are asking for money. Because many people ask in return, I want to know the percentage of participation in giving in order for me to give and for my family's foundation to be a part of the giving community of State College of Florida. And our statistics are very, very strong in that regard. We also have tremendous employee giving, as we are over 41% of our employees give at State College of Florida. You can also see we have hosting scholarship readings. We can do things online, on campus, within your book clubs or any of those social opportunities that you feel that you would like to cultivate your spheres of influence. It's very easy, very intuitive, and it is very fun. And to give away money of those of bequests and endowments that we have. And so we score them. We read our scholarships up to 3 to 5 times each, okay, so that they can get scored equitably. Word of mouth advertising is priceless. You all know that. Many of you fundraise at this table, and you know that those positive stories that you heard with students like Fred really are those meaningful stories that you can share through the impact of giving. As Mabel Bowen, the scholarship in which Fred received, she created that many, many years ago. She's no longer with us today, but she has an endowed fund that helps students that look just like Fred. And of course, cultivating your spheres of influence for several of our fundraising initiatives. Oops. Where are we today? Where are we as of November 30th in fundraising? As you know, you've seen escalating inflation. You've seen the stock market is kind of wild. People may not be able to give in some of the family and private foundations because they may be holding back a little bit, or they may divert initiatives. We have had foundations say, we're going to take a pause on this grant cycle because we're going to divert everything to hurricane relief of Ian and then subsequently Nicole. And so you've seen a lot of that. And so they'll allow us to reapply in 2023. Right now, our goal is $2.5 million. We're currently a little under $900,000 as of November 30th. We do feel that having this particular month end, we are doing about $40,000 better than we did in the previous year. So we are on pace with our giving. We do feel that in sponsorships that we've asked people, people are wanting to go up down levels because those businesses are recovering from some of the situations that we've seen in our economy. Yes.
What's the value of our endowment today that the market has recovered a little bit?
Well, we're kind of around that 82, you know, but you know, because since September 30th, the market's recovered a little bit. But then when you look, you'll see a day it goes down, it goes up. It's kind of a little crazy, right? But December is always like that, okay? Think about it. We are going through probably, you know, I've talked to a lot of people. You're in the runway of 2023 potential recession. People may actually call it a recession. In 2022, they don't call it that. So it's kind of that slow burn to that situation. We're waiting for employment numbers and other types of things to see what the feds do with interest rates. And these are some of our fundraising initiatives. As you and I know, the donor owns the checkbook, right? And so it's their passions and their alignment with strategic priorities, because it has to be beneficial for the donor and the college, right, in order for it to be a match. And so you can see areas of greatest need fundraising. We will be continuing to do that with hosting in-person events that we would love for you to attend. And then we also have the small informal gatherings. We find those to be very, very effective in fundraising, where they can really have strong mission moments. As far as our nursing and excellence program, we will continue to fundraise for instructional support, student scholarships, and of course, focusing on planned giving awareness and bequests. What wording should I use, working with our professional advisor community in Manatee and Sarasota counties. And then, of course, our SES menu of capital projects. We like to have a menu of capital projects because it allows people to have choices. And people like choices in giving, right? And so there are several capital projects in which they can put interest in and evaluate that for their family's foundation. Also, other college needs as they arise. That's why it's so important to have unrestricted fundraising mechanisms throughout the year. And then, of course, following the donor's passions. That's something that we truly do want to partner with. We want our donor community to know that we're a high return on their charitable dollars, and anything that you can do to help us with that and educating your spheres of influence are always very helpful to us. And of course, I'm available by cell phone. So if you don't know my cell phone, it is published literally everywhere. And if you have a great idea, I always am ears to all of those ideas. And because the best source of information comes from those that truly do care. So I do appreciate you allowing me to present today. And do you have any questions?
Job.
Oh, thank you, Mark.
Great to hear. Continuing with Meet the Mission, we have Dr. Bryce Pride going to talk to us a little bit about the employee survey results. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening. Thanks for having me. Today I'm here to present the results of the employee survey from 2022. And thank you for having me here. First of the survey, originally you all requested this as part of the modified schedule, and also to gain some insight and feedback from the employees to see how they feel about the flexible remote and work-life balance policies that were enacted for SCF. The goal of this survey or this effort really was to forge decisions about how to combine or to connect SCF employee retention strategies also with the employee lifestyle. And for the survey, we have five items on the survey, three of which were all employees received the question, two of which were dependent upon the length of employment when they were employed with SCF. So those are less than 1 year, and those are 1 or 4 year. They got a different question for that particular item. There were a total of 343 administrators and staff that were eligible to receive the survey. 233 of those responded, so we had a 68% response rate, which is really good for an internal survey, especially an online survey. And of those that responded to the survey, about 74% were staff, about 26% were administrators, 70% were here 2 years or more, and then about 15% respectively for those that were 1 to 2 years, and then also less than 1 year. And then of those that were less than 1 year being with SEF, 69% said that the ability to have additional days off during the summer was an important factor for them to join the SEF team. And then for those that were 1 to 2 years, 79% indicated it was an important factor for them to remain at SEF. And then those that were 2 years or more, 74% kind of respectively. And then for the last question, all employees got this question. It was really asking about it's important to continue looking at decisions that impact lifestyle and work-life balance. 99% of practically everyone said it's important for SEF to continue looking at that information. Thank you for having me, and if you have any questions.
Do you have any fields for open comments?
On this one, we didn't have it. This is our initial survey. Just kind of get a feel for it. That may be something that we're considering.
Our plan was to do a two parts. One was more immediate after the implementation of the change, and then probably closer to May, maybe the end of the academic year before we go into the June timeline, once again, to get that feedback, which might be the opportunity for some open-ended comments. One of the things we talked about on that last question about what are the kind of things that employees think that we should be looking at. Right? The next one was, should we be continuing to look at this? Then it might be, what are some of the things that we should continue?
Dr. Pride, thank you for your time and what you did there and staying in tune with the team members at the college.
Thanks so much.
Okay, continue. I see you all have your board packages. So continuing on to bullet point number 6, the approval of non-financial consent agenda items. If everyone's had a chance to review them and have no questions, I'll entertain a motion.
I move we approve the non-financial consent agenda item.
Second.
Having a first and a second, we have, do we have any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
And opposed, like sign? That motion passes. Bullet point number 7, a motion for approval of financial consent, financial consent agenda items.
I'll move approval of financial consent agenda items.
We have a motion.
Second.
And we have a second. Do we have any discussion? Do we want to pull it and approve, or do you want to?
No, just a question.
Okay.
There was a significant increase in expenses due to a software purchase. I'm just wondering what that was.
I can't tell you. I have to stop in my head, but I can get you that information.
Okay. Yeah, it's a 30% increase.
It also could be timing of bills that start at the beginning of the year. So I'll be sure it's an answer.
Okay.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
Page 49, we're ratifying the ventures for Venice campus after the storm. It's $259,000 for their portables to repair them. How long is this going to take? Are they going to be able to be for our winter class, or, I mean, we're going to be wrapped up by the roof membrane by December 31st? Is it mostly roof work?
I'm going to go into it.
Never mind. There's a lot. Yes.
Okay.
I just want to make sure we have it done.
Are we okay with the items in the? Okay, so we have a first and a second. Any other debate? If not, entertain motion. All in favor?
Aye.
And those opposed? No, that motion carries.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I didn't want to pull it up consent agenda, but I wanted to raise an issue. You know what? I take it back. I'll do it during board comments and updates as fast as I can. I have a point of discussion for the board to consider. And I'll do it then.
Okay. As normal, our bullet point number 8 was just the project list that Ms. Jackaway has been giving us every month. So it's for your information, and we'll move on to facilities and Mr. Wellman.
Before I jump into my PowerPoint presentation and talk these three items, I do want to review the project list, which is page 157, your board packet. Just provide a few updates since the last time you saw the list. And you're going to notice that there's 4 new projects at the front of that list, and those are all hurricane-related care projects, and I've got a slide I'm going to talk specific to that. You can see our total right now is $26.2 million in capital projects, and I highlighted the $8.2 million of state deferred maintenance money that we've got. And as you know, there's a clock ticking on that, so we've got those 5 projects on this list. We got a Fleet Force grant that you all probably know about. And that's going to require 26 West more office suite renovation to accommodate that. So I will be at the January board looking for a project approval to start that project. And last but not least, under 2324, you'll see the 5th project down. This is 26 West Center Building EDC office suite. In September, you all approved that project, $150,000, 6 offices, a conference room, EDCs. The lease is up. They're going to be on site, Dr. Fritz, I think January 1st. We're going to accommodate them while we get this office suite remodel completed. They should be in there by April 1st. So since September, we completed design. We engaged Will Smith. They've advertised. They're bidding the project out. And unfortunately, that project budget is going to be low. And they are continuing to bid the project. They'll prepare their guaranteed maximum price, and I'm going to be in a position to come into the board in January looking for a budget increase and looking to get the guaranteed maximum price contract approved. I know we talked in October, so I'm trying to get as much distance between that ask. So where we're at on that one. Questions on that?
No, but thank you for that heads up on it. Appreciate it.
Yes, Chris. They need to move in January.
We've got some temporary office space for them while we get this completed, and they'll be in April, by April 1st.
So they don't need the space to April 1st, or they need it January 1st?
They need it January 1st. Their lease is up, and they've made arrangements to move. We've been able to accommodate them in unlicensed space on the first floor of 26 West. Not ideal, but it's going to accommodate them for a period of time until the construction project is complete.
When do you think they'll have the final figures ready for us for the construction?
It's not going to be till after the first year.
What I'm trying to get at is, do we need to call in a motion or something? Because I don't want to have you have the numbers on January 2nd. We don't meet to January, whatever it is, 28th or whatever. Do we need to have a special meeting to get this passed as soon as possible so they get in this thing by April 1st?
You know, everybody's just so busy. I don't think their subcontractors would be able to reel in their schedules. They're set up to support. Their subs are set up to support.
So it really doesn't matter then.
Yeah, starting up 1st of February.
All right.
And then we got the movable walls. They're getting shipped, and that's all timed right now. So we wouldn't gain much by doing an early jump start on that.
Okay.
Chris, let me just... If you come to us and you say it's $500,000 and we say we don't like $500,000, you have a tenant that's then in a dilemma. So do they understand that they're coming into temporary space? Okay. Difference.
Yes.
Okay.
And they're doing their best to reel in the pricing, right?
And to the second part of your question, yes, Dr. French is in constant contact with them. They know they're going to go into the temporary space initially.
Full transparency.
Perfect.
Okay, so we got three items. In addition to that, we got the Venice Science Building, the audio, video, equipment, contract approval. That is the last of the contracts that are over $65,000. We're going to have to approve. We've got the Regis School Building 19. That's the boring project. That's the project and contract approval. And I'm going to give you an update on where we stand on all the hurricane repair efforts. The Venice Science Building AB contract approval. We did produce bid documents. We received competitive bids. And you can see based on the bid tabulation that Howard Industries came in low at $85,009.05. This budget is within the overall project budget, so we're looking for the request for board approval to contract with Howard Industries for that $85,009.05.
No, go ahead.
Excuse
me?
Move approval.
We have a first and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion carries.
Okay, so our second one is the Braddock Inclusion School floor replacement. Again, project and contract approval. So this project's replacing 10-year-old plus flooring in the Collegiate School. That's building 19, and it's the south and east wings of the school, plus the cafeteria. So we're replacing both luxury vinyl tile and carpet, just under 22,000 square feet of flooring. Have a budget of $375,000. Budget includes moisture mitigation, furniture moving and storage, and we do have a contingency in there. Good news, the Collegiate School obtained a charter school sales tax grant for $222,069, and they have adequate Collegiate School PICO money to cover the remaining balance of $152,931. So, Quest is looking for project approval, budget of $375,000.
Move for approval.
Second.
Chris, the recommendation is 317.
So next up, and then for their GMP for the
okay. 317. Okay. So we're requesting look. I have a first and a second. Already passed me. Okay, they already passed me. Any discussion? If not, are those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, you have a approval at 375.
Design was completed, and we tandem now may obtain competitive bids for four statute. Cost of construction came in at $317,840. That includes general conditions, subcontractor costs, overhead profit, and we have found that pricing to be fair and reasonable. So, requesting board approval to contract with tandem $317,843.
We have a first and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, last item, page 49 of the board packet, exhibit T. There's a memo there, and that was part of your financial consent agenda. So we have issued emergency repair purchase orders. John Squibb, Tandem, and Willis Smith are continuing contracts with our construction managers. As you know, we've got over 82 repair projects, impacted 18 different buildings, and we lost about 145 trees. So our construction managers have or are currently bidding all this work and developing their guaranteed maximum price contracts. So these emergency purchase orders were issued under Rule 6HX 14-1.16, and specifically we have issued purchase orders to Florida Landscape for $111,665. That's for tree and debris cleanup at the Venice campus, and We've issued a purchase order to Will Smith for $258,761, and that is the modular affordable repairs for the Paisley School events. And Will Smith received competitive bids for a forest statue. And again, it includes their general conditions, subcontractor pricing, overhead, and profit. And we have reviewed that and have found it to be fair and reasonable. That work is going. And that includes roofing, lightning protection, siding, insulation, ceiling, lighting, fire alarm, flooring, paint, and fencing. So those modulars took a hammering. And again, the work is underway, and most of the repairs, 99% of it, will be done by December 31st. And we have committed to Kelly and Aaron that the teachers and the students will be in that space by the end of the winter. Great. So we're on track for that. And the fund balance is going to pay for it, and we'll get reimbursed by the insurance claim. And then finally, I've got John Swift. They are currently bidding out all the repair projects on the Venice campus. And we've got Tandem bidding out all the work on the Bradenton campus, plus the marquees at Venice. They're not moving forward on that work. We should have those GMPs in time to have them presented to you all at the January board work group. Any questions?
How long do you think we'll be in these portables? How many years? Is it indefinite? I mean, when the science building is built, will we get rid of any of them?
No.
So these portables are there for a while.
At least 5 years.
And then we're going to have to replace it with, we're going to have another major building.
Probably my predecessor would, or successor would come in and put a permanent building somewhere. Somebody raises some money, but
you gone in 5 years?
Ooh.
Okay.
All I'm trying to say is this investment's for a sizable period of time.
We're going to get our investment out of it. Absolutely. Any other questions?
I'm just wondering about the status of the insurance claims, and we're confident that they're going to cover.
They may only $500,000 today as a down payment. And we're working with both the insurance company and FEMA almost every day, every other day, to make sure that they understand our claims and are going to pay correct.
We hope.
We're as confident as we can be.
Yeah.
That's right.
Dealing with the federal government.
Thanks for the down payment.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris.
Mr. Chairman, I have an answer to the question from earlier.
Okay.
The software, two pieces of software. One is ExamSoft, which is the new software. And Dr. Fritch or Dr. Hill would like to mention that.
ExamSoft is being utilized by our nursing program.
And Presidio Network Solutions, which is the network management software that we have. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to move on to item number 10. We have a few rules to discuss final action on. The chair recognizes Mr. Prouty.
Action today, you've had at least 2 months with these to review and to ponder and contemplate. I know, firing. The first one is Exhibit W, Responsibility and Authority of the President. Simple revisions to this one. These are revisions simply to reflect title changes. Now, each of these rule revisions gets its own public hearing. Mr. Chair, I'm handing it back to you.
Thank you. Public notice has been given for the following rule for final action, Exhibit W, responsibility and authority of president. Public hearing is now open. Are there any public comments? Hearing no public comments. The public hearing is now closed, and Exhibit W is ready for final action by the Board of Trustees. Is there any board discussion? Hearing none, the chair will accept the motion on Exhibit W.
Move to approve.
Second.
First and second discussion having been heard, no discussion. Hearing that there's no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
I'm sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? That one got a little confusing at the end. Right. The chair recognizes Mr. Prouty for Exhibit X.
College's grant application rule. Provision here is intended to streamline the college's internal process and to clarify approval that's needed for granting.
Thank you. Public notice has been given for the following rule for final action, Exhibit X, grant application. The public hearing is now open. Are there any public comments?
I have one comment. What was the process before?
It's
streamlined at $49.
It was as written in the blue line of the rule,
okay.
But it wasn't clear that it needs to have the presidential approval prior to the submission of grants. And while we encourage everybody to be part of our grant-making activity, we need to make sure it's all coordinated appropriately.
Any other public comments? Public comments that have been heard. The public hearing is now closed, and Exhibit X is ready for final action by the Board of Trustees. Is there any board discussion? No discussion. I'll entertain a motion.
Move to adopt.
We have a first and a second. Entertain votes. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion carries. Exhibit Y, I'd like to recognize Mr. Prouty.
A very generic, simple rule meant for rulemaking purposes to provide appropriate authority for more specific operational procedures that the college already has in place about student fees. And a good example is refunds. We have a refund process. This rule will give proper authority for the refund process that's already in place. It's an exercise in rulemaking.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Public notice has been given for the rule for the following rule for final action, Exhibit Y, students' fees. Public hearing is now open. Are there any public comments? There are no public comments from the public hearing is now closed, and Exhibit Y is ready for final action by the Board of Trustees. Is there any board discussion? Hearing no discussion, I'll accept a motion on Exhibit Y.
Approval.
Have a first.
Second.
And a second. All in favor? Those opposed? Exhibit Y. Is passes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crowder. We're going to move on to old business. Do we have any old business?
Audits in the prior have been mailed to you separately. And now they will be submitted to you. For more efficient deputy.
Reams of paper.
Right. Right.
Any additional old business? Thank you, Jamie. New business.
Well, Mr. Chairman. In the purchase orders, as I understand it, are it's for policy, our school rule that that anything over $65,000 needs to come to the board for approval. And it's been that way, just a quick conversation with Dr. Postfeld, that at least during her term, I'd like to just sort out to the board and have us consider raising that. That's seems very low to me. I don't think that dilutes our fiduciary responsibility, and it might just streamline a few things. I can't imagine there's a trust level issue with having it at 100,000 or whatever the board might choose. But I'd like us to consider that unless there's any sort of conflict with any other rules or procedures that we have. That's just a matter of us changing that number to make things a little bit more efficient. I'd like the board to consider that.
This is guided by state statute.
There's a state rule that affords thresholds, and 65,000 is way below the threshold. My recollection is it's 325.
Three and a quarter.
Yeah.
Three and a quarter.
Yeah. I beg your indulgence to let me just verify that, and perhaps
bring it back,
to you in a form of a revision to the existing rule that states the 65.
That sounds great to me. If that
good
with the board,
good.
The other thing I would ask is, and don't run away, but if there's information from the other colleges on what their thresholds are, maybe we could be looking at that to determine what's appropriate.
I think it's worth surveying or providing.
Well, if we're going to do that cleanup, are there any other thresholds, Julie, that we need to be looking at as well?
No, I don't think so. That's the one that causes us the most trouble.
Okay.
Great idea. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you. Any additional new business?
I'm not sure this is new business, but something that concerns me greatly, and I assume I'm sure everybody in this room, is our enrollment. Just raw numbers, I guess. We go through the financials as you read. The summaries that we are presented with, you always read like student fee revenues up 1% or down 2%, et cetera, which all leads back to how many people are we talking about here? It would help me anyway if we had a sheet of paper, and I'm not trying to make more work for staff, but we had a sheet of paper in here that showed the enrollment. It broke down as easily as you can make it for yourselves. I'm not trying to get into the weeds here, but I like to know from one semester to the next compared to a year before, so I know how many kids are coming in. You know, we just gave out 1,000 diplomas. Do we have another 1,000 coming in? That type of thing. Now I know that fall semesters and winter semesters varies greatly, but to me it would be, I'm interested in what the other board members, because I don't want you to just do it for me, but it would be nice to know that, you know, the College of, I don't want to break it down for you. I want you to break it down for me, but, you know, not to get into a lot of detail, but make a life hard for you. But if we had like College of Nursing has 106 enrollees or something like that, yada, yada, yada. So that you kind of know exactly what's going on with the enrollment from semester to semester.
I think that could actually help Cassandra's department a little bit because of the elevator speech that we may get asked about. I don't know the exact number of students necessarily in each department, but it's a good refresher each month to realize how many students are in a particular department. So if I run into somebody in the general public that could help Cassandra's cause out for a certain thing, I would know, hey, did you know that there's 5,000 students in the College of Nursing? You know, stuff like that.
That would be great.
Ryan does that enrollment report twice a year. Month to month is difficult because we have open and rolling enrollment. And so really knowing who we have in a program, we can tell you when we close the enrollment for that program for that semester. And during that semester, we have 6-week semester and 12-week and 16-week. And so it becomes a bit complicated.
Sure. I would think we'd want more than 3 times a year. Falls, winter and summer, maybe. That's, I don't mean every month.
Yeah.
Okay.
Currently, we do it for, I give one in the spring for the fall semester. I give one in the fall for the prior spring. We can include something for the summer this year.
Right, and we can break it down by, you know, we have AA, which is a big beast, nursing, which is part of AS. If you're particularly interested in nursing, we can separate out some of them, baccalaureate, whatever particular topics you want. But the largest group is always going to be that AA, which is the transfer.
I want to make it easy on y'all.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that piece of paper every month. Even though it'd be the same piece of paper 3 months in a row or 4 months in a row, that's fine with me. I just want to be kept up to date on how many people have come to school.
Yeah.
Now, I realize that some of them are, I don't want to get like one 80-year-old is taking one class. I really don't need to know that. I'm not, you know, but I'm just interested in the bulk numbers, I guess is what I'm saying. Yeah. And I don't need to break out nursing if you don't want to break out nursing. A's following me. I just want to know, compared to last year, mm-hmm. 2 years or whatever, are we increasing or decreasing in numbers?
I am just, this may be more, I know that you can press buttons and make this just shoot right out. But the credit hours, I mean, it's not really, I mean, the headcount is a reflection of how we're serving the community. But the credit hours is a reflection of revenue to the school. So even if our headcount's a little lower, we could still be achieving just as much, if not more revenue than the semester before. So I think that's a really relevant metric for us to be looking at.
That's fine.
One of the things we could do is we have those Power BI dashboards where we have those things, and we could set the prior term report out in that Power BI dashboard and then give you, make sure you have access to that as a board.
Because then you can slice it and edit it in any way, like, you know, race, age.
So we'll get working on getting that out there for the prior semester, and then when we present that enrollment report in the spring, we'll have the fall data there for you to view continuously.
That's fine. Something that we can look at.
Yeah, absolutely.
To watch and monitor.
And yeah. Mr. Chair, I have a little bit of discussion more. I like what Trustee Thompson had to say about the threshold. And this might be more of a discussion for Chris, the department, actually. I don't know. But, you know, in my short time here on the board, looking at still somewhat of a foreign language to me, some of it, but it's coming good. But, you know, I noticed that there's a lot of lingo about lowest bid and things like that. You know, I wonder, just for my own education from a transparency point of view, we talk a lot about, hey, this is going to cost an extra $50,000. This is going to cost an extra $1,000 or whatever the case might be. I know Chris's team evaluating that and it gets with you. But just for my own purposes, I don't know how everybody else feels, but from my standpoint, I'd love to see the other bids as transparency, just even though it's the lowest bid, just because of the competitors being able to see how far off are they when it comes to competitive bids. You're in the construction business. I mean, to me, it might make a lot of sense where these numbers are going. I don't know. Is that too
much? Are you talking about more than what's in the package?
Yeah, so it says, you know, I've used like Willetton Smith Construction, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they won the bid for the lowest bid. I know there's a rule in place that says, hey, the lowest bid wins, right, or something like that.
I think Chris might be able to describe it better. They bid all of the subs, right?
The AV that you approved, that was a claim. We put an advertisement out. We got a bid opening, and it went to the low AV contractor. For construction managers, when they produce that guaranteed maximum price, they go out, they advertise, and they get subcontractor bidding in all the divisions. That was there.
Yeah, that would get in the weeds, I think. I'm more like, hey, Canada Construction was $3,500,000 and Willis Smith was $3,000,3,000,2. Is there anything that says?
We're not, that would be a hard bid. And what we're using is construction management delivery. So we'll go to a tandem and they will negotiate their general conditions. They'll bid out the subcontractor work and we'll negotiate profit and fee. It's different than just going pure hard bid against the GC.
The board did ask us a while back, and Chris did an analysis when we did our first couple of construction management projects, to look at what did those come in terms of the cost per square foot relative to the statewide average and then other cost per square feet in the local area. And he continues to do that. So we do, from that perspective, looking from a perspective when we look at construction management, validating that it's still a cost-effective methodology for us in terms of.
I just know that we're in this ever-changing flow of inflation, even with consumption supplies and prices, and funds are changing their numbers every day too. So, I mean, every month you could be coming up here asking for additional $80,000 plus every time. And I was just wondering if there's something we get ahead of it. I don't know, maybe not.
Slow up the train a little bit. So when we're going through the design process, we got the CM at the table with the architect engineer, and they're pricing out the design, and we're developing that budget. And then once we develop that budget, I bring that to the board.
I say
based on current market, current scope of work versus, you know, this $8.2 million for deferred maintenance, that's going to be roughly $2 million. We haven't done a single bit of design yet. So some of these we're having to set a budget before design, and that's where we get in a little bit of trouble.
I see.
Good. Do you think you could revisit some of the data you brought us for some of the newer board members at some point?
Yeah, sorry, I'm a little catching up here.
Probably just discussing the different project delivery methods, the pros and cons to it, and we can talk hard bid versus at risk is what we're doing. I'm happy to talk that.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just normal business guy, dollars and cents. Yeah.
So we've been, and we sat through some of that knowledge, so I think it would be good for you.
Yeah, I would love to.
Be good to hear it.
Good.
All right, I'm going to start with Jamie. Do you have any board comments and updates?
The audit, who that went, and the team. Yeah, they're terrific. I know. Reading through this. And I just want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Pleasure to see you. Comment on Fleet Force. I don't know how much our trustees have learned about this relationship, but it's pretty amazing. You know, they train commercial trucks. They people get their commercial driver license, Fleet Force, and they truck drivers now are instrumental in helping our economy with our supply chain problems. And when we were just on the brink of a rail strike, the only savior that we would have had would be more commercial trucks driving around the country delivering our supplies. So they are not only providing an incredibly valuable service to our local economy and beyond, they're also changing people's lives because this is something people can do without a college degree. And people who just don't have the opportunities to go to college can get a driver license and start driving commercially and make $70,000 to $80,000. So it's really, really changing lives. And I just want to make sure that everybody's aware that we are instrumental in making Fleet Force even possible and the good that they're doing in the community. And happy holidays.
And there aren't only men.
Right.
Oh, no, not at all.
There are women as well.
That we're doing good by partnering with them.
Awesome.
How long have they been here on campus?
Just over a year. We started November of last year.
Yep. And we're getting a lot more money from state because legislature in its wisdom has recognized the value of this.
It's been one of those partnerships that serves everybody well. And I think Dr. Fritz really put it together quite successfully. Not only does Fleet Force have this opportunity, but because of their relationship with us and our partnership with other colleges, they now are working with, is it seven other of our Florida State colleges, having started with us. So we've been a good catalyst for them, and they've been great for us in order to be able to be responsive to our local community.
Yeah, I would, following up on that, to me, the Fleet Force situation is a perfect avatar of the way we can quickly adapt to the market in a way that the major universities don't even think about doing, but others don't have the wherewithal to do, where we sit in this kind of perfect niche of having resources, can get funding, and can be pretty nimble on our feet to respond to market needs. And I think Fleet Force is a great example of that. I have just two things. One thing, the graduation back on campus here is awesome. I thought that was just great. I loved having that. I enjoyed that. It was more, for me, it was more intimate and smaller. Felt like it was better for everybody. And the courtyard area where people could hang out and still sort of keep the celebration going, it just seemed to be a really nice way to do it, and I hope that we can continue to do all of them. We can fit in the spring one and everything that way. The other thing is I'm just thinking out loud here that maybe, Dr. Prouty, you could do a quick review at some meeting for us of Robert's Rules of Orders on a few things like consent agenda, because I think the consent agenda part is the consent means that we don't discuss, if everybody just accept this, we vote on it. And if there's a topic we're supposed to, that you want to discuss, we're supposed to pull it. I don't know how much that really matters. That might be one of those things that nobody really cares about. But I remember the whole Robert's Rules of Order lecture when I started many years ago. And so I just throw it out there just in case. And maybe it doesn't matter. And maybe I'm just being a nitpicker for no good reason. But it is the rule.
Brian?
A little bit. Just a comment. It was nice to go down to the Venice campus. Me as a SEF alumni myself, I have actually, guilty as charged, never been to the Venice campus. And that was my first time there. And actually got the grand tour from the principal at the collegiate school. So I happened to walk in. In fact, Michael and I walked in and we were just looking around, and she goes, can I help you? We're like, hey, we're here for this. So she goes, oh, well, come on in. So they were very accommodating. We got to go inside a classroom and talk to the kids, which was pretty phenomenal. So I hadn't done that in years. So it was a lot of fun. And then I got to go see the portables. Now, they wouldn't let us close to them, but it was roped off. But we got to, you know, she told us all about the roof and the water restoration stuff, and she went over everything. And they added the volleyball and basketball court system over there, which was pretty interesting. But if you haven't been to any of the campuses, I've been at Lakewood Ranch campus one time, I think. But if you've not been as a board member, I'd encourage you guys to go down there. I thought it was intriguing just because I had never been there. So
I'm the token Venetian here.
Many of them.
Me? You know, correct me if I say anything wrong here, because I'm certainly not an expert on this, but it's important to me to understand it. But I understand the state came to the 28 community colleges in our system and asked us to formulate a more equitable, reoccurring funding system for those colleges. Dr. Hale put us through all that several months back. We did so, and I assume in the next legislative session they're going to consider that and pass it, or hopefully pass it. Is that correct?
I don't know if they're going to put the model itself into statute, but our expectation and hope is that they will distribute any money that they give to the Florida college system through that model. And our effort as a college, our lobbying effort as a college, there's two aspects of this model. One is what I call sort of status quo, and it says this is how many programs you have and what type of programs they are, and this is your district cost differential, and so we'll just put money through that and everybody gets their fair share. The other, which is the part Ryan and I worked on, is the equity piece, which shows the disparity that's grown over in the last two decades between how some colleges are funded and how other colleges are funded. And it's aimed at trying to get those who are far behind up closer to where the others are. So we're advocating that the first $50 million of recurring money that would come to the Florida College System would go through that equity side. That would mean about $3.5 million to the State College of Florida. And with that, we can do a number of things, not the least of which is to have in perpetuity the ability to take that 320 or more nursing students into that program.
Well, that's where I'm driving to here. If they pass it, or if they come up with a model that's close to our model, and we're depending on that $3 extra million to double our output of nurses starting in the fall class of next year. We met, you and I met with Senator Boyd, and we went through all this with him. What's concerning to me is, and we're basing our budgets on that also, I presume, we're not basing our budgets on it.
We don't include it as part of our budget until it has made it through the legislative process and been approved by the governor.
My concern is, what if they don't pass it? What if they say, no, we're going to keep it status quo? I had a deal with Jim. And I think you did. That's why I'm not going to say it definitively. But I talked to Jim, and he was going to put through a special legislation to match, a minimum match, what we raise locally. I don't know if that's the same deal you had with him or not. I don't know, but that's the deal I had with him. We raised about $550,000-ish from hospitals, private doctors, and foundations. Sadly, that's not reoccurring. That's just a one-time deal.
Right.
What I'm concerned about is we're not going to get the state legislature doesn't pass our new formula. We don't get the funds. They give us a minimal inflationary increase. Will we still be able to hire those 7 professors to double our output of nurses starting in the fall if we don't get that?
We're already hiring the nurses for the fall. We're going to take the larger class in the fall. The question is not, can we do it in the fall? The question is, can we do it the following fall? And if we don't get a substantial infusion of recurring funds, then no, we cannot continue at that level.
Okay. So we are going to start this process and hope that the state comes up with the funds.
Well, we had a two-part request of Senator Boyd. One was this bigger thing, fund the model and put it into the equity side. The second was, if that doesn't look like it's getting any legs, we need a $3.5 million recurring operating appropriation for the State College of Florida.
Okay.
So that's the fallback position. And when you have people who are in positions of more power in the legislature, they have more opportunity to make that happen.
Well, I know that there's a state initiative for more nurses to try and fill this 69,000 void we have in the state of Florida right now. And this is our college stepping up to meet that demand. You've done a wonderful job leading that, and I'm proud of you. But I think we did not ask Jim for that matching if this didn't work. So therefore, it won't go through this legislative session. Jimmy was going to match it by our $500,000 with another $500,000. But now we've taken that off the table.
It's been matched. That went through last legislative session. So it got matched.
But we didn't have the 550 at that time. We do now.
No, the way they wrote the statute was they had to do rulemaking on it, right? So we didn't find out till a month ago, Cassandra.
Yeah, a month.
And so we're not even going to get this money until they're matching our whole 550, but we'll get, I think, the first installment in January and the second installment in April. But yeah.
Okay.
That they passed it last year, but it takes them 4 or 5 months to make the rules on what's going to qualify and how they're going to distribute and all that.
So we'll have enough funds to get started.
Right.
We may not have enough funds to continue on.
Right.
And Jim understands that?
And part of our request that we put before him was that we could continue at that level if we got a recurring appropriation.
Do you still go to Tallahassee for a certain period of time to lobby for us?
Mm-hmm.
And so I assume you're going to make that high on your priority list to try and make them understand that we hire them, but we can't keep them unless you come through for us.
Yeah.
Because we need this new model to go through. We have to have this new model go through, because once that happens, we have the recurring revenue we need, not just in nursing, but in other areas also.
Right.
If there's something that we can do as a board, sign a letter, whatever you might want to take with you, says this thing in black and white for these senators and representatives, I think we need to do it. It's mandatory that, I mean, we have to have this money.
We've got our local delegation behind us. What we might need to do is draft a letter that would go to the leaders in the House and the leaders in the on the appropriations committees, on the higher education committees, et cetera.
So last question. Do all 28 colleges have a nursing program?
Not all, but most.
Most of them do. So most of them have the same problems we have, and this money would, I assume, allow them to do what we're doing. Whether they take that initiative or not, I don't know, of course.
For sure, the 13 who are below the mean, like us, yes. The ones who are above, I don't know whether they have the same struggles or if they're at their capacity anyway.
Okay. Thanks. Again, if there's something we can do, let us do it.
Yep. Yeah, we're still right now trying to take direction largely from Senator Boyd to get all of our pieces and parts together on that request.
That's it for me. Merry Christmas.
I just wanted to celebrate Chris and the team down in Venice. The groundbreaking was amazing. We have a building going up on the Venice campus for the first time in
almost 30 years.
It's about time that we built something new on that campus. I'm looking forward to, at some point in the near future, possibly putting some money in Palmetto as well, for parish.
Sure.
So hopefully we'll be able to do that. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year all. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Well, I'm probably trying not to hit me with this many rules.
Wow.